Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Podcast Show number 154. I've just realised, I always say ladies and gentlemen, we must have about three lady listeners.
Oh, I reckon there's more than that.
Well, I can tell you, we did have one more last week because long time lover of the show, more long time fan of Michael Coxon, that's Mrs. Jill Coxon, my mum, listened.
She had a listen.
To an old show though, she listened to the Michael Coxon show.
Oh, right.
Which, obviously, I think because of my name.
There were a few C-bombs in that one, weren't there?
She asked me why everyone was so mean to me. She said, why are they so mean to you? She also said,
she should know. I mean, she knows you better than most.
Well, you know, she also said that certain members of the panel, I think she was referring to a certain Spurs fan who's not here, talk too much.
He does tend to
bless
talk
him, Daddy.
Anyway, we'll be able to cover off Spurs pretty well in his absence.
It's been quite weak for Spurs, hasn't it? Mind you, I don't want to say too much about Spurs because we're playing them at the weekend and I don't want to
I wouldn't worry about it. I
don't want to do a Dan Silver and say, oh, you definitely won't finish the weekend above us, and then lo and behold, they do.
You know what, Mike? As we've talked about it, why don't we just touch upon the drubbing that they took off
City? How fucking atrocious were they?
Well, as bad as Spurs were, City were very good.
Yeah.
I think I've said it a few times on previous shows. You know, when City are in that sort of mood, I challenge any team in the world to be able to
they're just
to
a
match
different
them.
Beast at home, aren't they? If their away form could get to even three quarters of what they do at home, then they would walk this league.
Yeah, I have to say, I wasn't sure about him, but I do think that Negredo is just such a good striker.
We are going to have more podcasters. Jerome and Chris are outside. Jerome's having an old cigarette.
It's gone from a two-man to a four-man show.
Literally we've doubled the numbers.
But yeah, I think Negredo is providing a lot more
Chris
consistency.
Chris has just tried to push the door when it's a poll.
Every time.
He's our resident beatnik.
How are you doing, big one?
Not too bad, all good. Sorry,
You'll
have to speak up,
worry.
It's busy in here today, Chris. Yeah.
Mr. Mundell's
and
here as
Mundell's
well.
Mundell's here as well. We were just talking about how bad Spurs were on weekend.
It's a shame Dan's not here to discuss it.
I think it's good because we can just say what we like and
he can't come up with excuses.
Yeah.
Have you brought up the point about the kickoff? The Spurs players, what they were doing. I watched Monday Night Football. Gary Neville made a very good point. As they were kicking off, first kickoff, he just sort of went on his Skypad and tapped all the players, all the Spurs players, like back four. None of them were paying attention to the game at
really?
All. They were like three. A couple were playing with his laces, looking up in the sky. But it's the way Neville did
looking
it.
Looking up in the sky.
Yeah, no, it's the way Neville did it.
Like
daydreaming, playing with his laces, playing with his socks, not ready.
It was bird watching.
Good, but it was a good point. Yeah, yeah. Good
and
point.
They scored after 14 seconds, wasn't it?
So, 14, yeah. It's like
what a finish that was.
It was amazing finish.
Yeah.
What a finish that was.
If you, one of you boys wants to run to the bar and get this out of the street, I can see that you're bursting.
Okay. That was the big result at the weekend, wasn't it? But Cardiff getting an equaliser against United.
I could see that coming a mile away as soon as they got that free kick. It's annoying. They're the points that we've dropped this season, like against Southampton, that we should be dropping. But I don't think a lot of teams, certainly the top six or seven teams, they're going to struggle at Ninian Park this season. We've got City have already lost then.
Yeah,
they are so.
Is it Arsenal that going in this weekend?
This weekend, yeah.
So
they will give them a game.
It's not an easy game, but if anyone who has aspirations to win the league,
is
winning a game with a couple of minutes to go. Then, you know, that's the difference between being crowned champions and not quite making it.
The one thing I will say is that United have got a history of losing or drawing against teams that are playing their first game at home in the Premier League against them. We lost to Barnsley, albeit in the FA Cup. We drew at Swindon. I mean, this is going back, but we've been doing it for years. But, I mean, the main talking point for that game is Wayne Rooney.
Yeah,
he should have been sent off.
I think he should have been.
According to everyone, apart from David Moyes and bizarrely Malky Mackay. Malky Mackay came out and said he felt a yellow was fair enough, that some refs would have given it as red. Yeah. There's talk of whether or not, because Malky Mackay and Moyes are big mates, whether they made an agreement to try and just quieten it down.
On the discussion on red cards as well, I mean, Wes Brown?
Awful. Absolutely.
Well, that's
awful.
Another one that's going to get.
Did you see Poyet's reaction on the touch? Yeah. He went to take his jacket off. He was ready to square up to the ref.
That was brilliant, did you? Because it was Kevin Friend, wasn't it? And
Kevin Friend. Came out
and said, he's no friend of mine. Brilliant.
I think, even though a lot of people don't think, but what's the guy from BBC?
Lineker, Lawrenson, Shearer, Hansen.
Black guy, sorry.
Oh, Garth Crocs.
Garth Crocs.
Don't define people by their colour.
Come on. It's the only thing I had. he made a good point. Like, these red cards and stuff like that, and tackles are going in. It's just like, it's becoming a non-contact sport, and it's like what you don't want. The tackle from Wes Brown was quite. It was aggressive, but
no, but it was controlled.
I don't think it was dangerous. Yeah,
it was controlled. He
was controlled. He got the ball.
It wasn't 2 feet up,
was it?
No, I thought. He's got it wrong.
He's been out for about a year now. Played two games, two quality games.
He's played really well.
Played really well. And to get sent off for that, it's just unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
It's a cliche, and I think it shows the difference between the two decisions at the weekend. Wayne Rooney is that sort of player, but Wes Brown isn't that sort of player. Wes Brown is, for all the stick he gets, a very good defender who can tackle and wouldn't go out to hurt someone. Wayne Rooney likes kicking people and stamping on them.
Do you know what? It does make me nervous.
The thing is as well, another point, that was, it's not like the game, it was early on in the game, first 10 minutes or so, wasn't it?
First half,
there was nothing gone on in the game previously to make him feel like he needs to get some retribution on someone.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like out of nowhere, he got frustrated and started kicking out the player. It's just like, where has that come from? Because he's, over the past year or so, he's calmed down quite a bit in his aggression. Where has that suddenly come from again?
He's managed to keep up the control.
It makes me nervous with the World Cup coming
up. Well, David Moyes has quite said he's never going to sort of curb his.
I think Rooney's kind of done it himself. He's realised he's getting on a bit now. He's more experienced.
He's a lot more controlled with it.
He's a lot more controlled with his aggression. You can never take that out of his game. But he's over the past couple of years, he's been a lot more controlled. He's never done something like that. For him to do that out of nothing, worries.
He's not done that since the whole Macedonia game when he got sent off. But I mean, we saw the other side of Wayne Rooney last night when he was absolutely fantastic and instrumental.
I didn't watch it.
Wait, sorry, I was saying earlier, because
you've
been telling me how much you don't enjoy watching United. I think you said on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was probably the best football and the best team punch United have put in since we went through that spell in 2011 when we battered Arsenal and Chelsea.
2011. Wait, Jerome, can you believe this?
To be fair, he's right. I don't think Man United have played well. I don't think season they won the league.
I won't say we played badly, but it's the most exciting we've been to watch, or the most interesting we've been to watch. We passed the ball well, we attacked.
And who was the man of the match last night? Ryan Giggs?
Ryan Giggs, arguably. I mean, Giggs, Kagawa.
The Mirror had Giggs as man of the match.
A lot of places had Rooney, some places had Kagawa. Johnny Evans put in a great shift at the back and got a goal. Chris Smalling was all right. Valencia had one of his best games. It was an all-round great performance.
It was against a team, I think, a third or fourth in the
second
Bundesliga.
Second in the Bundesliga.
Are they second now, are they?
Undefeated at home as well. So, a complete bolt from the blue.
That shot me.
Yeah.
I watched the first game that you had with Leverkusen. Leverkusen were poor in that game. I mean, were Leverkusen poor last night?
They were. Well, they started well. Up until United got the goal, they had the impetus, Leverkusen. And they just seemed to fall apart. United got a foot on the ball. I mean, the 5-0 scoreline's a bit flattering because it was one of those, the third goal went.
They off Fernando,
and
aren't they?
They off
Fernando.
Leverkusen just fell to pieces. But
fair enough.
Unbelievable. And I mean, we mentioned Ryan Giggs, he's 40 tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday for then.
What a man.
I will mention briefly as well, while we're on, because he's obviously a United legend, rest in peace to Bill Foulkes, survivor of Munich and winner I think he was captain for a while, but he won the 1968 European Cup with United, scored in the semi-final against Real Madrid, and he only scored 7 goals in his whole career. So quite impressive.
None probably isn't important as that one.
Exactly, died age 81. But yeah, Ryan Giggs, phenomenal at the age of 40. It's his birthday, what would you buy him?
Got everything. I'd get him a £50 note so he could burn it.
£59.
New missus, because he's ugly.
He's already tried that, hasn't he, with a couple of other birds, so I don't think he needs that either.
What would you get him, Michael?
Well, I always remember when he was younger, he always used to wear long sleeves, so I'd buy him a pair of Matteo Flamini scissors.
What was all that about? I don't understand.
Well, Chris, I think you could tell us a bit better.
Right, there's a rule. Arsenal have had it for a very long time. It's about sleeves. The captain on the day of the match will pick the sleeves.
A lot of clubs used to have this rule.
I think Herbert Chapman
introduced it.
A lot of clubs have lost it, but Arsenal, one of the top flight teams, have kept it. It's ridiculous. I couldn't give a fuck, quite frankly.
I suppose it shows a bit of unity in the team.
Wenger had a go at him, didn't he? Because the game against United was when they were special edition shirts with poppies on.
Yeah.
And Arsenal were auctioning off for charity their team's shirts after the game.
To be fair, I think that makes it a bit more of a collector's item.
No, I completely agree. Who cares whether it's or not?
He had a big argument with Vic Akers, the kit man, who's a bit of a cup hero for Arsenal, is he? He's been there for years.
I just think it's just a strange rule, and it's weird because this all really came about on the weekend. But on Tuesday, he wore long sleeves, Flamini, and there was no problem. But this was still in the papers today and yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday.
Why? I don't understand.
It's not really, there must not be much else going on.
but I think Flamini just needs to put up and shut up. He said, you know, I've been playing top flight football for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I like
to wear short sleeves. Well, unfortunately, your captain doesn't. So
he could always roll them up, couldn't he?
Giroud rolled them up, and there was nothing. So Giroud rolls them up every week.
You wonder whether or not it'd be the same. Yeah. Well, Mesut also rolls them up a little bit, doesn't he? You wonder if it'd be the same if he'd cut them up.
He would make a good job of it.
Flamini coming back to an Arsenal team that he wanted to leave, and they're trying to make a story that he's
making
trouble.
I'm disappointed that Flamini didn't do a bit like a jagged pattern or something. Yeah, like
special scissors.
Or you know what, when you fold a bit of paper and you cut people into it. I think
he's done a really ragged job of it.
It wasn't even a good job. Yeah.
Actually, we spoke about Vic Akers being a Arsenal legend, but also Pat Rice, who's been diagnosed with cancer, so all the best to him. Yeah. Fingers crossed he can get better.
Big servant to English football.
A tremendous servant, Arthur. He was Wenger's number two for many years, wasn't he?
He was everyone's number two, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He does look a bit like Elton John, but
actually, on the subject of number twos...
I need to get a goal.
What the fuck is Mike Phelan going on about?
Oh, wait.
Right, is it just me or... What? Look, at the end of the day, mate... So he's trying to somehow steal some of Fergie's glory because he's saying that basically he ran the team and Fergie didn't for the last 5 years.
I'm not sure he's trying to steal Fergie's glory. I think he's angling for a job.
He's angry that Moyes wouldn't hold on to him at the club when he's come out all season and made a few comments about... Hang on a minute, mate. I mean, so he's being linked with the Norwich job. I mean... I just don't get what he's trying to say about Ferguson.
He wants to get a job. I don't think he's criticising Ferguson. He has criticised United quite a bit, was he saying
he was a big part of the success at Man United?
He said he was effectively the manager of the team. Ferguson delegated a lot of responsibilities to him to effectively...
What, like he picked the teams and...
He didn't go into it. I mean, he's certainly probably took training along with Moylan Stein because Fergie never has taken training. That's the coach's job to do the training, I suppose. But it's not a small statement, is it?
I mean,
that's a massive
statement. Yeah.
I was effective
biggest
manager
club in England, most successful manager in the history of our game, and he's trying to say that the last 5 years he's been the one running the club.
Ultimately, I think I'd say if he was effectively running the team and if he'd been doing that good job, David Moyes wouldn't be in the job at the moment.
Exactly, he would have got straight in.
So, I mean, that's all you need to know.
There you go.
Going back to the weekend briefly, because there were a few big derbies. Chelsea obviously won at West Ham. Well, what a brilliant comeback from Aston Villa.
It was, yeah.
Fantastic.
Were you expecting that?
No, absolutely shocked. The first half, we was absolutely atrocious. Two goals were...
One of them was Shane Long, good
finishes from both of them, Shane Long. But we made three substitutions and got back to the team that we started with basically at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And looked so much better. Midfield was
Do you play three at the back in the second half?
No, we didn't. We still play four at the back. We played like five in midfield basically.
Right, okay.
Five, sort of three in midfield. We looked so much better, moved the ball about, had total control of the game in the second half. Second goal was a cracker. And yeah, I don't know, on review, on balance, yes, suppose we did deserve the draw for the second half performance, but
momentum for the fans, yeah. Though, I mean, to lose to West Brom would have been disastrous.
Well, you never want to lose your derby.
Well, exactly.
It's the only derby we've got this season.
Like almost felt like a win, didn't it?
It did.
I have to say, I hope this recording isn't picking up Natasha Bedingfield, which is booming out of the speakers in it.
I didn't know who it was, but well done for your knowledge of really
Pop
bad music.
Exactly.
Can we also say well done to Crystal Palace?
Yeah, fucking hell, on the up.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but
Europa League,
they're off the foot of the table, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I mean, it is so close down there.
Well, they're joint bottom on 7 points with Sunderland.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it's going to be a fucking great season, because I don't think we're going to know until March what's going to happen anywhere.
No, I agree. There's so many teams to Palace.
Yeah.
They put a shift in, and I think they deserve three points.
To 10 men as well.
Yeah, they really deserve the 3 points, and they should have actually. Well, they created enough chances.
Your old boy again, with scoring a
Barry
goal.
Bannon.
Barry Bannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't like him when he's angry. There you go.
I tell you what, the leagues below the Premiership are really starting to take shape as well. We mentioned League Two the other day, probably on our last show. The top seven teams are separated by 3 points.
Yeah.
That's it. And I think you go down to the top 12, they're separated by 8 points. Mm. And the top three are all on 32. I mean,
that's really tough. Yeah.
But then look at the bottom, and if you look at the top, so the bottom six are separated. So bottom Northampton, if you go up to 19th place, Portsmouth and York are on 17 points. Yeah. So,
it has branched out a bit after the midweek games.
Oh, actually, after the midweek games, it's
slightly
different.
But there's still 8 points between Morecambe and Oxford.
What a league that is.
But I might actually be going to watch Oxford at the weekend again. So,
oh, really? They're not in the greatest form. I mean, they've actually been top for quite a few weeks, but they haven't really kicked on. The results haven't really gone their way.
It's very strange. I was thinking this, because I'm going up to see my friend who lives in Oxford, and in about February we went to
see... I hope no horses get punched in the
face. Well, exactly. We went to see Bristol Rovers versus Oxford, and someone punched a horse, and I saw a police officer picking teeth out of his mouth. It was lovely. It was the coldest day ever as well. And yeah, Bristol Rovers, who were in great form at the end of last season, looked really good. John Joe and O'Toole in midfield then looked brilliant. Oxford looked in disarray. This season, Oxford's top of the league.
Yeah.
And Bristol Rovers, who I actually tipped for promotion in that league, are third bottom in 22nd. So, shows what the fuck I know about lower league football.
There you go.
Or football in general.
Football in general.
Yeah. Let's talk about football in general.
Hey, my mum will be listening. My mum doesn't like it when people are mean to me.
Do you know what? After the weekend and the midweek results, I can't not talk about the Super Bees. Brentford are on a fantastic run. So we're unbeaten in seven, six wins in there. We've, in our last two games, we got a draw away in Molineux against Wolves, 0-0. By the sounds of things, Wolves should have been given a stone cold penalty, but it wasn't awarded.
I have to say,
we got a 0-0 away, and we've just beaten Peterborough at home 3-2.
I have to say, it must be great for League One fans, and no disrespect to a lot of teams in League One, Brentford included.
Having Wolves in the league,
but going to places like Molineux and Bramall Lane,
we took over 2,000 fans on Saturday, and. It's a shame that we didn't really have the sort of turnout that we wanted on Tuesday night. obviously, cold games in midweek, but apparently the atmosphere and the people who turned up. And Xbox.
And PlayStation.
Well, yeah. And people just want to keep warmer, don't they?
Yeah.
Not that the game was televised or anything.
I've noticed there is a massive difference between the top two and the playoff positions.
Said that, it was bigger, so the gap is being reduced. So Orient dropped 2 points in their last game on Tuesday night. Wolves won. They lost. They dropped 2 points against us at the weekend. The gap is
it's tightening. Yeah, looking at the top of the table and towards mid-table, Crawley have sacked their boss this week, haven't they?
Yeah. So Richie Barker's been sacked.
Yeah.
And I don't really get it. They finished mid-table. They were 10th last year. So actually above
put a lot of money into that club, though, don't they? They want typical. Relatively rich owners wanting instant success, and they've got it to an extent.
They're not on a good run, so they're without a win in seven games. They're currently sitting in 12. They've got rid of Richie Barker. Interestingly, he's being linked with the Portsmouth job.
Yeah.
So
Guy Whittingham's gone.
Guy Whittingham's gone. what I love, there's a good story in this. So the Portsmouth job, there's a bit of an outsider being linked with that game, with that role. And he's the manager of Havant and Waterlooville.
Lee Bradbury.
Yeah.
Former Portsmouth striker. Yeah, yeah. He's a bit of a legend at Portsmouth. He went to Man City and was fucking terrible.
I'm not too sure why he's being touted for the role, because I was expecting to look at the Squirrel Conference South and see Havant and Waterville flying up the top of the league. However, they're not. They're languishing in 14th.
Abby, he's a Portsmouth legend. He had two spells there. That's the main reason. Havant and Waterlooville, the only thing
about that enough to hire a manager. Well, he was a legend.
it does happen more so on the continent, but the only thing Havant and Waterlooville are notable for really is twice taking the lead at Anfield in the FA Cup in 2008 before losing 5-2. Fact of the day, knowledge is the bomb.
So was he the manager at the time?
He wasn't. I don't even think he was playing for them. Rocky Baptiste, I think, scored for them that day.
Anyway, go. Mike Phelan's available, apparently.
He is, yeah. maybe he's really good
as well.
Yeah. He's doing in Allardyce. He's holding out for the Inter Milan job.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got, when we're talking about managers, fast-tracking managers into top-flight roles has been something on the agenda recently. What's everyone's take on that? You know, Ferguson's come out and he seems to change his opinion on it. You know, one minute he thinks that people should give in a fast track, the next minute he thinks people should do their qualifying, you know, their coaching badges.
I personally think you should have to get your coaching badges. Yes. But if you're at a club, say you're
is
the captain.
Is Lee Bradbury fully qualified to take
I'm
on the
I'm sure he probably
role?
Is.
I hope so.
But
I'd like to see him get a role.
I think you should have to get your coaching badges, but if you don't have them when you're off the job, then why should you not take it?
Okay, and then coaching badges aside, do you need to prove yourself at a lower league team, or do you go straight into a top flight role?
Case to case, isn't it? You never know.
Look at Guardiola.
Yeah, exactly.
That's about as high profile as it gets.
Some managers spend years and years. I mean, Allardyce was in the Football League for years. Warnock was in the Football League for years.
Martinez,
yeah. They've all managed lower levels before. I mean, even David Moyes.
Maybe Tony Adams should have started at the bottom and then tried to work his way up.
Apparently, he's got a couple of offers going on in England.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
I love Tony Adams. I love him.
He's not a football manager.
And it breaks my heart to see him.
Portsmouth might be interested.
When he was there, they drew with AC Milan.
They did.
I don't think they'll be playing him anytime soon.
He'd probably be a great coach, but I can't see him ever being a manager.
Speaking of managers,
Ooh.
Dan Silver doesn't need to be the only one who does a segue. This is direct from Shawnee Miller. A great story.
Milladonna.
Adrian Mutu's a bit of a naughty boy. He's been in trouble.
Not again.
You know, not as naughty as he's been in the past, but
he's
I
not
think
been
quite
caught
funny
sniffing
naughty.
Cocaine off a hooker's breast, has he?
Allegedly, no. So basically, you know, Romania went out in the qualifiers in the playoff against Greece.
Yep. Surprising, that was.
Well, Adrian didn't seem too happy about it, and he's now been banned from playing for Romania once again. It's happened before because he posted a picture of the Romania coach Victor Piciorca on his Facebook page, but he did a bit of photoshopping and replaced Victor's face with that of Mr. Bean.
What's he implying?
I think he's suggesting that he doesn't know what he's doing and he's a bit of an oaf.
Right.
I don't think he's suggesting that he's not as funny as he could be, you know. I don't know.
I didn't even know Mr. Bean had made it to Romania.
Oh, of course. They fucking love him. I was in Thailand the other summer. They love him all over the world. I was in Thailand. I was on a boat from Koh Samui to Koh Tao. It takes about an hour and a half. And they just showed Mr. Bean on loop because there's no dialogue in it. So everyone can get it.
It
slaps it. But it's huge around the world, Mr. Bean. Absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, good time to go on to Europe. Seems to about all four English clubs through to the second round of the Champions League.
We've got the same, we've lost against Dortmund.
Unfortunately, you've got a team like Marseille who just want to lose to everyone. So they've played five and lost five.
I think so. Dortmund's got Marseille.
Yeah. Away.
And Arsenal and Napoli away.
And Arsenal got Napoli away.
So thank God they're not going back to Finsbury Park. They're not going back.
It's going to be a very, very tough game.
Well, you've got to assume
Dortmund are going to win.
You would assuming Dortmund would win because Marseille.
Arsenal need a draw, and I think they're.
Arsenal need a draw, or they need to win to lose, but by. So what was the score of the first game?
I think it's 3 goals.
So it's not goal difference though, isn't it? It's head to head. So it needs to be that their result is better than the one that Napoli suffered. So what score was the Napoli game? Was it
3-1?
Yeah. I think it was 3-1. So
true Arsenal fan, we got to see
if Napoli won 2-0.
You are a season ticket holder as well, aren't you? No.
If Napoli won 2-0, they'd effectively go to an away goal.
I thought he went to afford a season ticket.
We certainly don't pay him.
I used to go on the. I'm not going to say.
Actually, I don't.
But also in Europe, Gareth Bale scoring a cracking free kick for Madrid.
I missed that, but yeah.
In the absence of Ronaldo. Doing all right.
He's doing all right.
He's starting. I think he's already won the fans round, and I think he's probably.
Have you seen what they're selling?
No.
They're selling headbands with big ears on the side.
He's getting the top back tucked in, isn't he?
Oh god,
probably.
My mum had that done when he was little.
It probably looked like Ronaldo next time. Yeah.
My mum had that done, and she wouldn't let me have it done when I was little, so I've still got the big ears.
Mrs. Coxon.
Not fair.
I think he's starting to win round the respect of his teammates, isn't he? You know, I think there's that very much, you know, new boy in Real Madrid, and you know, when a big signing's made, Ozil leaves. They don't really want to like him, do they? They almost want him to be a failure, but I think he's almost won his teammates around pretty quickly. Took Beckham a long time to do it.
Oh, of course it did, yeah.
So we've got some big games in Europe tonight as well. So massive game for Swansea, massive
Valencia at home. The Liberty will be rocking for that.
I think. So, yeah, I mean, you'd expect a really good crowd.
They destroyed Valencia in Valencia.
Yeah, but there was a red card after about 10 minutes in the first game, and it sort of ruined the tie in terms of making it an even contest. And you know, Laudrup's even come out and said, "Look, we didn't really get to play the real Valencia because the ref." Sort of gifted us a red card, and you know, so they won easily 3-0. Tonight will be a very different game, and I think Valencia are not doing too bad in La Liga at the moment.
It's a nice all Spanish tie.
But
so
Wigan as well. I mean, Wigan are a game away from qualifying for the next round.
Results go their way tonight, a win for Wigan and a win for Rubin.
It's not the last round of Europa League, is it?
Another set of games in the group stage, and then it's on to the round of 32 or something. Okay.
To be honest,
if I was a Wigan fan,
they've only got one more game in the league stage at the moment, right?
Well, tonight, and no, they've got two more. They've got tonight and then they've got another one.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So,
but I think Wigan can actually gain qualification.
Wigan beat Zulte Waregem or whatever they're called tonight, and Rubin Kazan beat Maribor, is it?
Yeah.
Then Wigan will be through.
But you know what? I mean, that's a really good job by Owen Coyle. The Championship is a really, really tough league, and to be able to manage the Championship and a UEFA League campaign, that's pretty tough.
They're doing okay,
but the further they go in Europe, the more it will compromise their performance. I mean, they're about to sign Will Keane on loan from United. He's a very good young striker, been out for 18 months with injuries.
And they've just been unlucky, so because of the injury problems at Villa, I think it is, one of the lads has gone back, hasn't he?
He's only been there for about two weeks.
Yeah, he's not been there for long.
So I think Martinez is a bit gutted, Owen Coyle's a bit gutted about that.
Yeah, and I think Albrighton came out and said he would sign another loan contract there as well. He was quite happy there. But
as we're talking about the Championship, not that I'm bitter or anything, but Yeovil are having a tough season, aren't they?
Could that be Brentford if they'd gone up?
I think we'd be doing better than Yeovil. 9 points from 16 games, and they've only scored 10 goals.
That's pretty bad. They could be Hyde United, who've still only got 3 points in the conference.
But Yeovil actually lost to Doncaster at the weekend, it was midweek, which makes it even worse. Doncaster went up. Doncaster are doing all right. They're in 20th. Bournemouth, the other team who went up from League One, they're doing slightly better. They're up in 16th. But I mean, the Championship's one hell of a league. I mean, say that League One and League Two are tough. The Championship is very hard.
It is. They say it's the hardest league to get out of, but
It's pretty easy to go the way that Yeovil are going and get out of it in relegation.
Yeah,
they're doing a good job
speaking of teams doing badly, I mentioned Hyde, but Droylston are still down in the Euro Stick Premier.
Have they won yet?
No, they lost to FC United 4-1 the other night.
FC United are flying though,
they're on 2 points after 21 games. That's half a season and they've got 2 points.
Where are FC United now?
FC United mid-table, they're not doing that well.
They
will have gone up a bit since this league table was published. They could be as high as, what, 7th? But not doing too great. But also, I have to mention the stadium collapse in Brazil. It's killed two workers. Absolutely terrible.
Was it a crane?
Collapsed. Yeah. Yeah, but it's worrying because there are so many stadiums that aren't complete out there. We've had it before.
Yeah, we hear this all the time.
South Africa, it was the same.
It was a contingency plan to host it here, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the Olympics,
it's going to happen in Brazil. All the stadiums are going to be ready.
We're
6 months away, 7 months away from
Christ knows we've never had a stadium that's taken 6 years to build and cost billions of pounds.
Slightly over schedule.
Anyone been to Wembley recently?
Yes.
So, I mean, I've got another naughty boy. A really naughty boy. Another one from Shawnee Miller as well. He's getting involved.
Why is he getting involved? Tell him to stop getting involved.
Okay, tell him to come down here and buy us all a fucking drink.
Mauro Icardi, who plays for Inter Milan, Argentine lad.
Who, sorry?
Mauro Icardi.
Oh, right.
He has confessed his love for the wife of former Sampdoria teammate, he joined for Sampdoria, Maxi Lopez's wife, on Twitter.
Oh, dear.
He's been having an affair with her.
Oh, like
they broke up. He's got a tattoo of her name tied up. Her name is Wanda Nara. I recommend looking her up on Google.
Wanda Nara.
Sounds like it is something. It sounds like some sort of South American currency. That would be Wanda Nara. boom, boom. Yeah, very nice looking girl, model. Been in a few, let's say, choice films, apparently.
Oh, really? And this is Maxi Lopez's missus?
Yeah, apparently she also had an affair with Diego Maradona before she married Maxi Lopez. Maradona, yeah. But he's been all over Twitter. Apparently he's been goading Maxi Lopez about it.
Maxi
Lopez.
Oh, right.
No, sorry, Mauro Icardi. See, it's such a triangle. You're just getting them all mixed up.
Do you know who I blame?
Wanda Nara.
Yeah, I blame her.
Wanda Nara, yeah.
She's cheap. No. But no, I mean...
Bloody hell.
I do think it's...
I've got a funny story.
Go on.
Who likes a sunbed?
I know somebody who likes a sunbed.
Yeah. Who is that?
I can't remember. I read about it in the paper.
Philippe Mexès.
Yes.
This is fantastic, right? So he missed the Celtic game in Champions League this week. It's a very bizarre injury. And apparently, it's because he's had too many sunbeds recently.
Yeah.
So he's now got a problem with his eye. And the scientific name for the problem is called central serous retinopathy. And, I mean, that is
that's why you don't go on sunbeds.
Wear the goggles, don't you?
You know what? Have you seen him? He is an orange man.
Yeah. I reckon he can run that off.
I reckon he likes a can of tango at half time. I mean, he is an orange man. But that is a bizarre injury.
That's awful.
That's worse than reaching for the TV remote.
I thought he's got a bit of sunbeds.
There's a few good ones. I think it was Steve Howe tripped over when he was walking his dog.
David James was reaching for the TV remote, wasn't it?
That was Canizares dropped the aftershave bottle. Dropped the aftershave bottle and tried to control it instinctively. Richard Wright fell out of the loft. there was the guy playing, I can't remember if it was for Celtic or Rangers, I think it was Charlie McManus, boiling an egg and it exploded. Or poaching an egg. Sorry, if you boiled it, you'd get the shell, but he got boiled egg in his face. Or Charlie Mulgrew. but yeah, I've got some more naughty boys as well. Six people have been arrested this week.
Yeah.
Two match fixing, including Delroy Facy, formerly of Bolton. He was a Granada International, suggests he played for the North West. And also he played for Gillingham, which is where I think he turned bad.
Did he?
But there's been match fixing in the non-league, allegedly strange betting on Chelmsford, Billericay and AFC Hornchurch. If you remember, a couple of months ago we spoke about the two English lads in Australia who were arrested for match fixing in the Victoria League, who had both played for AFC Hornchurch.
Obviously
Essex scandal in Essex.
Yeah,
actually there's a lot of sunbeds there as well.
Apparently it's the only way. It sounds tough to me. We have done a lot. We posted a video of Adam Barrett, the Gillingham captain's miss in midweek. Now I think we're a bit pushed for time today, so We're going to have a Christmas show in a few weeks where we'll just discuss all the general crap.
So anyone listening to the show today, go on to our website and have a look at this mix.
Yeah.
I challenge you to come up with a better mix.
We've got
missed
a few.
I've watched it like three or four times. Yeah, like, seriously,
I couldn't believe what I was... I cannot believe my eyes on this one. Yeah. And I promise you, I haven't been on a sunbed.
We've also got a nice question of who's the best individual performance of an opposition player you've ever seen. So, when it gets to Christmas, we'll do like we did in the summer. We'll just do a show where we do all these general things. So send in your questions now. Got time, we'll raise them. I had something else to talk about. Can't for the fucking life of me remember it. Melbourne Heart, that's it. Fucking hell, it's going badly. Going really badly. 3-1 defeat against Newcastle Jets at the weekend. Still rock bottom on 2 points. They're only a point.
Did Heskey score?
He did, and no, it was an Adam Taggart hat trick. And Andrea Migliorini.
Taggart.
Or Jerry Taggart, former Leicester defender. You know, not as funny, but factual. Andrea Migliorini scored Hearts' goal, which is their first goal in 447 minutes from a deflected free kick. But it's Adelaide next, and Harry Hewell's going to be back.
Great.
So, fingers crossed.
Is he injured before?
Oh, of course.
The knee.
Do your knees to ask. So, I think that can just about wrap us up for this week, guys.
Why not?
You know the usual score. Email us, banterfootballpodcast.co.uk. We're on facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Visit us, www.footballpodcast.co.uk. And for anyone who missed it, the show went up late on the website. It's always uploaded on iTunes when we put it live. So always check there before the website. And follow us on Twitter at Football Podcast. We'll be back next week with Dan Silva, hopefully talking about another 6-0 defeat with Manchester City. Fingers crossed.
AVB doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, bless him. Have a good week, guys.
Bye.
We're not actually stopped yet, but can you hear that lovely saxophone?
I love it. To play you out.
I think we might just leave you that.
Nothing like it.
Bye.